those of you who didn't hear, I'll repeat again that Robert Willicki will not be staying this year tomorrow. And, you know, I like to put in a little bit the current events of some years from now when I listen to the year. I'll know that it was the day before the beginning of President Bush's visit, and because of that visit, this area of town is going to be it's going to be a fortress. Yes, it's going to be a fortress. That they took over the King David, the Inval, and the Dan Panorama. I know there were people who were told to leave the Dan Panorama.
Dan Panorama was the King David.
Am I supposed to look at you? Oh yeah, we told her. Everybody turned. Nobody has a cell phone on. I can't believe that anybody. All right. Good morning. Good morning. The parish is Parshas Bo, and I don't know, it was one of my moves, you know, I wanted to get so much stuff in on one page, so I learned how to make things a little smaller. Those probably I should have given you magnifying glasses with these sauces. But all right. We're going to deal with... we're going to deal with the night of Pesach, the night of the first Pesach, a little bit in all that is involved in leading up to that first night of Pesach. Parashat Bo, finally we come to Vayomer Hashem el Moshe el Aaron ve'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor. God said to Moshe and Aaron the land of Egypt, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Hadashim. This month shall be unto you the first of months. Rishon hu lachem lechotche ashana. It shall be the first of the months of the year. Dabru el kol adat Yisrael le'mor. Speak unto the entire congregation of Israel, saying, Be'osor lachodesh hazeh, v'yikhol hem ish celebrate avot selabayit. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and tell them that on the 10th day of this month, each person is supposed to take a lamb. Every family is supposed to have a lamb. Sunday night, I was one of those who gave a hesped on Rabbi Kowalski. I want to take off from one of the things that I said at that hesped, which is on this pasuk, and from there we're going to develop it further. It says, Dabru, speak to Kol Das Yisrael, the entire assembly of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are referred to in Torah by three terms. Machaneh, a camp, Eidah, an assembly, and Kohol, congregation. What's the difference between the three? The word machaneh, you have to understand that the word machaneh, which describes a unified Jewish people, one camp, does not define the essence of the Jewish people. A machaneh is never defined or identified by itself. Its identity is completely dependent on something from without. What defines a machaneh? We are joined together and united because there is a threat from without. A camp, as Yaakov said, when he divides his family into two camps, if Esau will come, El HaMachaneh HaAchad Viko, he will come against one tent and strike them. The other camp will survive. Machaneh is that which brings together people by virtue of the fact that there is a threat from without. Remember one of the shurim of the Chovah is, but it's written. He says a machaneh is something that we can see in the animal world as well. An earthquake. a tsunami. And I remember there were pictures of it during the course of the big tsunami. That instinctively, the beasts feel that it is coming and they begin to flee from before the oncoming danger. And you know what happens? The lion and the lamb flee together. No lions going after lambs. The lions and the lambs flee together. Ah, when the tsunami, the danger is past, then you know what happens? The lamb flees from the lion. Otherwise, the lamb's fleece will become the fodder for the lion. All right, that was quite a sentence we put together over there. Machaneh is, for example, we knew during the Second World War. During the Second World War, America, England, and Russia were united against Hitler. It was the common enemy that united them. The moment the war was over, Churchill's famous speech of an iron curtain that has gone down between East and West, and then started the Cold War. And they are united as long as there is a threat. The moment the threat is lifted and raised, it's back to business as usual. Mao Zedong and Chiang Kai-shek, Chinese communists and Chinese nationalists, were united against the yellow peril, against the Japanese. When the war was over, I mean, maybe another kind of example that I use, and only because I can't help it, but these things happen sometimes. Our coalition government today, you understand? They are united in face of a threat that they may all be out of jobs. So that's the cement that holds them together. You certainly cannot say that they have a common goal or a common objective. There is no such thing. But it's all the threat of being out in the wilderness of either the opposition or thrown out of their heads, out of the Knesset. So a machaneh does not define the Jewish people. But Adar and Kohol do. I said, now, what's the difference between Adar and Kohol? And I see the English translation for Adar is assembly, and Kohol is congregation. So I'm not sure what would fit best, which one of them fits better than the other. But we have to take a look at it from the Lashon Kodesh aspect. What's the difference between Adar and Kohol? So I once said, Adar comes from what word? What word do you hear in the word Adar? Aid. Witness. Now, a witness, of course, bears testimony to some kind of an ideal, and I once, in a different context, quoted to you one of my famous poems. I'm not going to say the whole poem now, but there is one line in this poem that says, Israel, an eternal witness remaineth, bearing a message, God is but one. The Jewish people, by their very existence and their survival, bear most eloquent testimony to the fact that there is a God in heaven. So a community, or a community that is of an Adar nature, is one that bears testimony. So this is already a form of identity. We all bear testimony to the same ideals. Now the word Adar, in fact, is used both in a negative and a positive sense in Torah. Because remember, when the Torah talks about Korach va'adoso, his assembly, lo tiye k'korach va'adoso, don't be like Korach and his Adar. The Meraglim are called Adas Meraglim. He bodlu mitocha Adar ha'roh ha'zos, separate yourself from that evil Adar. So that means there's there is great sanctity in to Ada, but there is also a negative. It could be of a negative nature. And we'll talk in a moment about what it is about Ada that could be negative. Yes?
Can we just use an example of an Ada
is
used in the Torah
in a very positive way? There are many other places. In Torah, there are many other places. Ada is, and you'll see right away why Ada has to have a positive and a negative connotation, and it depends on the context. In other words, because they are united. And one has to say that Korach and his Ada, they were united by an ideal, but they're also, they were a shtickle of coalition. They were a coalition that really were united only because they wanted to remove, they wanted to remove Moshe, and then of course every one of them wanted Moshe's position. The Meraglim were also united. They all were united about one thing: can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is going to be a tragedy. The Arizal says, of course, that the tragedy is going to be that they saw themselves as being removed from leadership in Eretz Yisrael. They were good leaders for the diaspora or the Golah, but they were not going to be leaders there. But we'll see in a moment. Kohl, in the word Kohl, you hear the idea of Kohl, voice. A community in which people's voices are heard is a dynamic and a strong community. It's more than that. The word Kohl is usually, there are exceptions, but usually, overwhelmingly, it's used in a positive sense. The Gemara, in a number of places, talks about Kohol Kedisha Yerushalayim, the holy congregation of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was called Kohol Kedisha. And then, Mishabedach Lesen Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, after you compare to Mashabbos, who Yevorech God should bless as Kol HaKohol HaKodosh Hazeh Im Kol Kehilot HaKodesh. There's something about Kehilot that is Kodesh. And there's something about Kehilot that is more holy than Ada. I want to say that the point is the following. Bearing testimony can be an extremely positive experience. As we talked, the Jewish people are the ones who bear witness to the existence of a God. But there's something else. There's another aspect to a witness. The aspect that I want to focus in on about the aid is that he is passive. He is not active. Remember, if an aide in halacha, if an aide would be involved in that which he's testifying about, he is rejected as an aide. An aide, a witness, is somebody who has to be completely and totally removed. Which means, of course, that he is passive. Kohol represents an active community, a community of people that do, are involved. And we see it here, the first time, I believe, in Torah, that we have the word Ada, and then we're going to have, let's not leave you in the dark. Let's go. The Pasuk over here said, speak. God says to Moshe and Aaron, speak to Kol Adat Yisrael Leimor, but also HaKodesh Hazeh on the 10th day of this month, they shall take each celebrate, someone celebrates, they should take a lamb. And then the next passage says, if there aren't enough people in one family to eat a lamb, then you can join together with other families. And then passage 5. Seth Tomim Zohar Ben Shana, 1 year old, okay. Passage 6, underlined. You should watch it at our boss on Yom HaKodesh Hazeh until the 14th day of this month. V'shachatu also kol kahal adat Yisrael. The entire congregation of the assembly of Israel shall slaughter the Korban Pesach. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron, who have been speaking to the Eidah, are now speaking to Kahal Adat Yisrael. Because you know what happens? The dramatic change, the turning point, comes on Erev Pesach in Mitzrayim. During the entire period of the Makkos, Dan, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Orov, etc., the Jewish people were completely passive. They bore witness. They were not actively involved in the process of their own redemption. On Erev Pesach, when the Shahatu also called Kahata Abad Yisrael, do you know what happens on that day? Eidah is transformed into Kohol. The assembly now becomes a congregation. The passive now become active. They become, from an Eidah, they become Kol HaKol HaKorosh HaZeh. They've struck a blow for their own freedom. And we're going to talk about what kind of a blow this indeed was. They have taken an extremely courageous step. And that courageous step already tells us that they are defined as far, far more than Eidah. They are not Eidah. Oh, now they have reached the heights of Kohol. We're going to have it later. Parashat Vayakhel. Vayakhel. Vayakhel Moshe is called Adas Yisrael. Moshe brought together the whole Eidah of Israel. What were they to do there? He tells them that they're going to build a Mishkan. Up until that time, they heard about the Mishkan, but nobody did anything. The moment the process of making the Mishkan begins, then the Eidah becomes transformed into Kohol. The passive ones become active. Then we are defining the Jewish community as a dynamic, a powerful community, a community of energy, movement. That's far different than an Eidah. Far, far different than an Eidah. So there's a great transformation that's going to take place on that 14th day. That great, great Erev Pesach, the first Erev Pesach in history. Now, two other psukim we have to learn, and then we'll deal with the next pasuk. The lachum, after they slaughtered, what are they supposed to do? They become even more active. The lachum and adam, and they're to take from the blood. The natnu ashtei hamizuzof al mashkof. They should place blood on the two doorposts and on the mashkof, the lintel on top. Al habat mashiyochlo otom behem, on the houses in which they're going to eat. You have to put the sign of the blood, and they're supposed to eat it that night with matzah and marah. Okay. There's another passage there that's on the line that we may need during the course of this year. V'achaltam oto b'chipazon. You should eat it b'chipazon, in haste. You are supposed to eat the Korban Pesach like you're ready to go, you know? Of shpilkis, they would say in Yiddish. That, you know, you're ready, the suitcases are ready, everything. You're eating the Korban Pesach, you're sitting down to the Seder, but this is not going to be a Seder, not going to be a Seder where somebody's going to say divrei Torah for an hour and somebody else is going to spend 2 hours checking the letters for bugs. This is a Seder at which you better get down to business, because everybody is sitting with tremendous anticipation. Marsh, ready to go. Kaltem otobe chipazon. Pesachu Lashem. And then God says, I will go through the land of Egypt and I'm going to pass over your homes. B, I divided, we have another few psukim there. Down at the bottom, Aleph Beit, yeah, Pasuk Bet, Ulekachtem Agudat Ezov. You are to take Agudat Ezov a bunch of hyssops, a bundle of hyssop, utvalte madash asafin, you should dip it into the blood that is in the basin, v'gatam el amashkov el shtel mezuzos, and you should put the blood on the lintel and on the two mezuzot. V'atam lo teitzu ish mipetach beito avoge, and don't you go out of your house until morning. So here I just want to point out one of the things that I hope we will also get to. When the command is given to place the blood, it says you should put it on the two mezuzot and then on the lintel. When it is being repeated now by Moshe, do you know what it says? The lintel and the two mezuzot. Is there any reason why the order is reversed? First time around it says, V'natnu al shtei ha-mezuzot, v'alamashkot, the two mezuzot, and then the lintel. And then down here in B, u'l'chachta, u'doi, v'yikat, v'alamashkot, to the lintel, al shtei ha-mezuzot. All right. So first I want to take you as quickly as I can through a ksav ha-kabbalah. But in general, there's a theme to the shiur. And everything that's going to be said this year is really going to be to strengthen this idea, what is so unique, so exceptional about that first night of Pesach. And it is relevant. It's not only that, no, it's not that first night of Pesach, it's that first Pesach night. I think that's the better way to describe it, the first Pesach night. They sit down to the Seder. Their Haggadah must have been a little bit different from the one that we have. Pesach Zu, this Korban Pesach that we are eating, Al Shulman, why? Because we believe with perfect faith that God is going to pass over our homes. Passover. Do you know what they're doing? I mean, maybe it's not the best example. They're celebrating Yom HaAtzmaut on Daled Iyar. Hey Iyar is being celebrated on the 4th of Iyar. Maybe, you know, with all the American flags fluttering over the skyline of Yerushalayim. Celebrate July 4th, 1776, and July 3rd. You'd have to celebrate and say, Animan in Bemuna Shlema, that tomorrow is going to be the great moment. Here's people who've been enslaved, and they are celebrating with great joy, and not only with great joy, but chipazon. They're ready to go. They're ready to go. Do you know what a leap of tremendous faith this is? You know, a friend who sums this all up in one sentence, if you turn over just for a moment and take a look at number 7. What a little shtickle, a very small number 7. V'chipazon. It's the Ksav HaKabbalah who brings from Beinu Ovadia Sephorno. That little shtickle. B'chipazon lahoros, you know what this comes to teach us? Al habitachon. The next word is a typo. I don't know, some. Habilti mesupak bokel yizbarak. You know what b'chipazon means? To tell us about the unquestioning trust and faith in God. B'yotam l'chinim atzman l'derech, they're preparing for the road. Ba'odam b'beit ha-kele, where they're still in jail. They're still in jail. And you know what? You can be, you know, they can lock a person up physically. I think it was Shabansky who said that. And Yosef Mendelovich, you know, they locked me up physically. But spiritually, emotionally, they can't take that away. If you have a sense of purpose, you can't lock me up anyplace. And here we are talking about a cornerstone now that is sitting over there. I mean, no, it's not Lishon HaBov in Yerushalayim. In other words, tomorrow morning, in another few hours, we're out of Mitzrayim. It's relevant. It's extremely relevant. You know why it's relevant? Because I believe that in the process of every geula of Klal Yisrael, whether it was their return after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, in their return, they had to live with a sense, the Navi had said that 70 years, it's all over. And there are those who live with that great anticipation. By the way, the only way we survived all the time is because we were mad optimists. We never gave up hope. We never despaired. Sometimes I have a feeling that, you know, optimism also can be a very negative thing, just as it can be a positive thing. You know, there are those who are so optimistic that, you know, peace is breaking out all over, all over. The dawn of a new era. No more war. All right. No. Okay. Hold on. I say shalom ben Rama. We also shalom alein. Optimism, no despair. This has always been the great strength of the Jewish people. And where was this established? It was established that night. They're still in the prison. That's Mitzrayim. And there must have been some great songs that they said, sang there now. You know, I don't know. I mean, I can try, but I'm not going to. No, I take it back. I mean, okay, maybe though, Nish Zolchen sein de Gula. Es kum schon jetzt de Gula. Es kum schon jetzt de Gula. That's not bad. That's what I was saying. They believed it. Bebeit Keller. Bebeit Keller, they believed it. So now, what we're going to talk about is what leads up to the course of that process. This is so fascinating. It would be amazing to try and make up a Haggadah. But anyway, even matzah. Do we say matzah zu, this matzah that we eat, our shame, because our fathers ate matzah in Mitzrayim? That's not what we say in the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say, this matzah we eat because their dough did not have time to rise. They must have had to say, our shame, we're getting out of here soon, our dough is not going to rise. It's going to be matzah. It's going to be matzahs. Act, great leap of faith. Back on the first slide, number two. Ksava kabola hadam lachem laos. Hakoshi mefursom, the blood is going to be a sign. What's the sign? What is the sign of the blood? Umatzorech yeshbo. What does it accomplish? What does it do? Hamimenu yidborach yipolei. God cannot save them without a sign on the door. In other words, he may miss the house. You know, God has to make sure. One of ours is over there. So he needs it. He needs it. What's the point of the sign? What's the point of the sign? So he says, Yirek Moshe Kosa. I'm not sure who that is. There were aspects of the Jewish people that withheld or stood in the way of the process of Geula, and they have to be cleansed. They have to be cleansed of that. Our rabbis wrote, "Shehoyu over lilim in Mitzrayim." Maybe another of the Nosim say that Jews had sunk to the low of idolatry, idol worship in Mitzrayim. Some of you is brought up the Tarum and Akosim. You know what God wanted to do? He wanted to purify them
and cleansed them. But Tzivalein Korban Pesach, so he commanded them the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, of course, is the great blow against idolatry. The lamb was an idolatry of its chayim. Huh?
Antiteza.
Hanogdan. How do you say Nogdan? The antidote. The Nogdan to Avodah Zorah, to idol worship, was the Paschal lamb. Ubazeh Yoru Horog Murah, Kishavu Midarkum Horog. And by that Korban Pesach, they are going to demonstrate that they have repented. By slaughtering the same idol that they had themselves worshipped. The greatest indication of one's real love for God is if you're able to do something that is extremely dangerous without any fear whatsoever. Libli yikanez b'lev ha'ohev shum pachad v'daga. That the one who loves God will absolutely, like, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. They're going to do something on that Erev Pesach, something that could conceivably bring down the wrath of all of Egypt upon them. And it's not going to be done behind closed doors. They're going to make sure that every Egyptian knows that they slaughtered a Korban Pesach, because that blood is going to be on every house. The simon of the blood is not that God should know who's in the house over there. They want the Egyptians to know. You know what we just did? We just slaughtered your deity, the same deity that many of us were worshipping. So the proof of absolute love is to be able to do something that entails great danger without any fear and without any worry. May aids the sakona from any danger. L'malot ritzon ha'ne'ehav, in order to fulfill the will of the one who is loved. Avol yosin ma'asho, the capital person is ready to take his life into his hands. V'yistakein, and he's going to endanger himself. L'bli himona ne'asot ritzono, and nothing is going to stop him from doing the will of God. Therefore, tzivah Hashem yitbarach, therefore God commanded that they should do three things. Gimel pulot bizvichot halahai shel Mitzrayim le'ineihem bepirsum gadol, that they're going to slaughter the deity of Egypt in their very eyes, and with great pirsum it's going to be known to all. V'lo yoshitu lev, they're not going to pay attention, ala sakona ha'atzuma, lest the Egyptians are going to get angry with them. They're going to see the shame of that which they fear. And you know, then they want to arise up against the Jewish people and destroy them. Nothing is going to stop them. A few lines further, where it is underlined, Al ken yishkatu ha-pesach b'knufya u'be'esed gadol mishpachot b'firsum. Therefore, the Korban Pesach had to be slaughtered, not in private, families together. This already means that this is something that's not taking place bechadrei chadorim in the inner sanctum. V'gamzeh lo yifchadu lo yiru misameh. They're not going to be afraid. And then he goes on to say that they're also going to be required to do is place the blood. Where it's underlined further, anybody's going to go through the street is going to see it. And then you know what the third thing is, that now they're going to know, you know what they're doing now? They're eating They're reading our deity. They're reading our hearts out. That's what they're doing. And all of this is being done, all of this is being done without fear, without worry, without concern. That takes great courage. This is great courage. And they're still in prison. This is what we mean when we talk about an Adar being transformed into a Kohol. V'shachatu also kol kahal adat Yisrael. The Adar has become Kohol. And that is the meaning of the Dham. Let's turn over and take a look at a number of other things here. I'll stand. Let's take a look. I'm trying to decide where I'm going to. I didn't decide that yet. Let's take a look at number six. El Hamashkov. And of course, you need Kashim. The Mefarshim, the commentators ask the question, Lama Hofach Moshe Taseder Mimasha Nemalo. Why did Moshe, when he tells the mitzvah to the Jewish people, has reversed, inverted the order? God had told him that they should put the blood on the pillars and on the lintel. And Moshe tells them, put the blood on the lintel and on the pillars. What was the point? What was the point? Al shtem zot alashkov v'loim skiru. It says, Tzadok Kabbalah says that this was already dealt with in a sense by the Mechilta, but the Mechilta doesn't really give us a full answer. The Mechilta says, v'higatam alashkov shomei ani imhidim zel zel u'yotza. If it would have been written only one way, then that might have left us with the impression that you're yotzei the mitzvah only if you do it precisely that way. But if it's written in reverse order, that really comes to tell you that if you did it the opposite way around, you're also yotzei. You're also yotzei. That's similar to what the Rashi says in the Chazal. There are many places in the Torah where it says, Hayadaber Hashem Moshe. Then it says a number of places, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe el Aaron. God spoke to Moshe and to Aaron. Over here it was to Moshe and Aaron. In a sense, Chazal say to tell us that they were equal in greatness. So if you say mezuzah, say mashkov, and you say mashkov and mezuzahs, so it means whichever one. Alright, okay, that's one approach. Klei Yoker has another approach. In other words, the first approach is telling us that this is an halachic determination. That if you didn't do exactly the way it's written, it's also okay. Klei Yoker in number six is going to say that Moshe inverted the order and he said so he wants to invoke a medrash over here. And I think it's a famous one. Ki amru shakolish baruch amal Yisrael. God says to the Jewish people in Malachi, shuvu elai v'ashuva eleichem. God says to the Jewish people, you do tshuva to me, and then I'll go back to you. I will return to you. He's saying, you have to take the first step. What does Knesset Yisrael respond? How does the Jewish people respond? Ein bikoach l'shuv tchila. I don't have it. I can't do it. It's too difficult for me. But you know what we'd like of you, God? Atoti hiya matchil. You be the one who takes the first step. Shenema, as it says at the end of Eicha, Hashiveinu Hashem eilecha v'noshuva. God, you bring us back, and then v'noshuva. So here it is, the machloket between the two. God says, shuvu a lie, return to me, and then that will trigger that false shuvah. Alechem, I will return to you. And the Jewish people, akshamim, you understand? Akshamim. So they say, no, no, hashiveinu Hashem Alecha. And then the no shuvah. Vavder zeh. So he says, Hamashkov, the Mashkov represents the sign to God. The two mezuzot are the sign to us, and we'll talk in a minute what kind of a sign it is to the Jewish people. So, when God says it, he talks about the two mezuzot, which are the sign for the Jewish people. He's concerned about them. By the way, we'll see that the real concern is that the blood of the mezuzos have a very, very important function. The important function is that night of Pesach, that first Pesach night, there was a very different halacha than every other Pesach. V'atem lo teitzu mipetach beito ad boker. No one was allowed to leave their home until morning. Nobody was to be wandering in the streets because danger lurks in the streets. What was the reminder to a Jew not to go out? You know, like the blood on the doorposts, you know, like a skull and crossbones, like danger. You can't go out into the street. God, when he tells the mitzvah of putting the blood, he mentions the mezuzahs first, because he wants to demonstrate his concern for the Jewish people. Mashkov, don't worry about me. Second, Klal Yisrael put God first by saying the Mashkov and then the two mezuzahs. There's a... And the Mashkov, he says, represents God, because we want, as it says, one place, Hashkifa Mimion Kotcha, look from your dwelling place in heaven. Look down with kindness. Let's go a little further. Valderet Zed, Yeforash, this is how we explain Hamashkov Klape Hashem. The Mashkov corresponds to Hashem Yisborach El Yonakol. The Mashkov is on top. That represents God. That represents God. K'mod Atomar, as it says, Ki Hishkif Mimiron Kotche, God has looked down upon us from his holy dwelling place. And the two mezuzahs that hold up that mashkov, that's the schus avos v'imahos. The shloshes avos and the arbay ways, the patriarchs and the matriarchs, k'moshe kosuv, ma'ona l'kekedim yitachas orizom, ki ha'avos, because the avos are the ones that, in a sense, so to speak, carry the chariot of God. It all fits in the middle of the line in the poem that I quoted. What does God need us for? In what sense, so to speak, is he dependent on us? He is dependent on us that Israel, an eternal witness, remainers, bearing the message God has performed. We are his representatives in this world. Therefore, God said, "Kechole kavod liyedeov." God wants to give honor to those who fear him. So he mentions the avos and the imahos first. The avos, the fathers and the mothers, first. They are the mezuzos. And second, he mentions himself. And when Moshe repeats it to the Jewish people, he says, "No, our great source is God, who is represented by the mashkov." There's a famous word from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baradichev, in this machlokas, in the Medrash, the machlokas between God and the Jewish people, that God says, "Shuvu elai, you do shuva first, you go first. Well, shuva aleichem, then I will return to you." And Jewish people say, "Hashiveinu Hashem elecha, God, you go first, you bring us back to you, and then vidno shuva, we will return." So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baradichev said, A rule in halacha, yachid v'ravim, if there's a machlokas between a one and a many, halacha k'ravim, the halacha is like the many. God is the one, But the Jewish people say, no, you first, us second, the halakha is like the Jewish people. All right. Huh? I knew somebody was going to ask that. You're asking that there's another word by which the Jewish people are described as Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael comes from, we don't like that word, by the way. It comes from, it has nothing to do with the word Knesset Yisrael. I can say all sorts of stuff off the top of my head. That Knesset Yisrael really is not a description of Israel all the time, only at particular moments when they are gathered together. But, I didn't do as good a job on Knesset Yisrael as I did on Edah and Kohol. So let me rest on my laurels of Edah and Kohol, and we'll find some good definition for Knesset Yisrael. No, it's not mentioned in Torah. So in other words, you're getting me off the hook immediately because I started off, my first sentence was, there are three terms by which the Jewish people are described in Torah. Very good. Yeah? Very, very good. Very good. But by the way, I didn't use two other terms, goy and am, because the words goy and am can be used about all peoples. All peoples can be goy or am. The only words we talked about were. And by the way, machaneh also can be used about any people. As we said, even in the animal kingdom there is machaneh. But Edah and Kohol, that's unique for us. So we said that the purpose of the dam on the mezuzot was the sign. Hayah adam lochem laot. This is the sign for you. And what is the sign? It's sort of a sign that those red signs, a red sign with a white stripe in the middle. That's a no entry. All right. The blood on the mezuzos, like that red marker, which tells you no entry. Where can't you enter? You can't go out into the street. The night of Pesach, you can't go out into the street. But wait a minute. So here it is. On both mezuzos. Notice you don't have any problem like we have. I get all sorts of shadows everywhere, get all sorts of shadows. We have all sorts of passageways in the house. What side do you put the mezuzah on? Because we have a mitzvah of mezuzah for all generations, and the mitzvah of mezuzah is the right-hand side as you come in. Now, someplace, sometimes you don't know whether you're coming or going, so you don't really know which is the right side. Going out to a mirpeset, do you put it on the right going out? Do you put it on the right coming in? I've even seen, but you can't do that, one on one side, one on the other side. That's mitzchayim, you understand? That's mitzchayim. Why do we have a mitzvah of mezuzah only on one side? I mean, wouldn't it be great to have it on two sides? And a lot of other fascinating questions that come up with mezuzahs. I don't know whether you have mezuzahs on the entry to your elevators or not. I don't know. Just imagine. All right, there are different shittas. The poskim that I dealt with many years ago held you didn't have to put a mezuzah there, but that's not important. We have a mezuzah for all generations. The mitzvah is on the right hand side as you come in, because there's a completely different message to the mitzvah of mezuzah that we fulfill. on the night of Pesach, what you had to be sure of was that nothing is going to come from the outside in. Jews had to protect themselves. A sign to protect themselves from the winds that blow outside, the danger of the outside. But there the mitzvah was a second mitzvah. Not only we had to make sure that nothing comes in, we also had to make sure that nothing goes out. For all generations, there's a completely different message to the idea of mezuzah. That the mezuzah is a protection or an indication or a message. Be careful of what comes in. Oh, do we need that? We have to be careful what comes into our house. And sometimes the stuff that comes into our house comes in from the house, from the TV and from the internet. We have to be very careful of what's going to enter. There are all sorts of winds abroad in the world that are antithetical to everything that's Jewish. The mezuzah, in a sense, is reminding you, be very careful. You come from the outside, you're coming into your house. You know, like they check you around here. You got to check yourself. The mezuzah is the, what is it? It's what are those things? They don't work. Those things you have to walk through, you know. You put your cell phone down, and your purse.
The detectors.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever detect anything, but the mezuzah is a detector. The mezuzah is supposed to detect, be careful about what comes into your house. What do they call them in English? For the internet, they have sinun. My English isn't pushing out. They got Arabic about 26 years. Huh? Filters. That's the word you wanted to say?
No, I want to say something. We have another passage of Shoshin, also the same connotation.
Except that over here, me and the mezuzah have to be the shofet and the shoter to make sure that nothing gets into the house. But wait a minute. There is no mezuzah on the other side. You know why? Because the Jew is not supposed to lock himself up in the house. You have to have the courage, the strength to go out there. There's a great deal that must be done by Klal Yisrael in that world. We have to start with our own people, but the idea of no mezuzah on the other side is to tell you there is no such thing as out teitzu, you should be passed out peso, out okay, don't go out of the house. We have to go out of the house. We have to move in society with all of its dangers. We have to move there. We have to be movers and shakers. We have to be those who will, in some way, impact on what's going on out there. We cannot be mafka Klal Yisrael or the street or society with whatever little we can contribute to raising the level, morally and ethically, of the street out there. We are not free of that responsibility.
This is also be a protective agent of what does come in, that you're protected from the negative.
That's the of course, that's what I'm saying. It's the reminder to you also. You know, it's not only is it a magical kind of protection, but it's a reminder to you, you're walking into the house. Be careful what you bring into the house. By the way, in a certain sense, the idea of kissing the mezuzah as you walk out of the house, in a sense, you're taking the message of the mezuzah with you wherever you go. But the night of Mitzrayim, then it was the message of our Teitzu, Ish mi Pesach Beso, our Boker. All right. All right, you know, I have to make big decisions. So I'll make a big decision. There is a major essay by the Meshech Chochma, and I'm going to take a major essay by the Meshech Chochma and condense it into about 4 minutes, which of course is clearly Meshech Chochma side, and you can't do that. You can't go ahead and... but he makes
a major historic analysis. Sometime next year, we'll maybe if I remember, we'll go through the full contents of this. You don't have it there. You don't have it. Because the Meshech Chochma says the following. If you study carefully, historically, the Jewish experience in Mitzrayim and compare and contrast it with the Jewish people's experience in their second Golos Bavel, the Babylonian exile, you'll find that there was a fascinating difference. In Mitzrayim, Jews didn't have Torah. But you know what? They kept all sorts of forms of Jewish identity. Their clothing, their names. They spoke Hebrew, they spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Medrash also says that they didn't betray their fellow Jew. Shah. Anything that took place in the Jewish community. See, I'm going to go off on a tangent, I can't help it. Yesterday there was an article in Haaretz that the government says that all the information that's handed out to the world by Shalom Achshav about building and construction in the in Hudav Shalom is extremely damaging to the Israeli government. Then you have to go, you know what you have to do? You have to go to page 4. 1, 2, 3. Now, give all the things in the Haaretz. The whole page is a map that pinpoints every one of the 102 outposts in Eretz Yisrael. The schus of Geulat Mitzrayim was Shelo Hoyu Behem Dilaturim. They didn't have people who leapt, who spoke out of turn. We have an epidemic of it. Meshech Chochma didn't say that. And you know what? They retained their identity. No Torah, but these outer trappings that are extremely significant in Jewish identity. Contrast that with the Babylonian experience. There were people who had Torah. But you know what happened in 70 years of Golos Bavel? They didn't have those fences around Jewish identity. At the end of the 70 years, they were already in the process of intermarriage. Ezra and Nehemiah come back with all sorts of families that are intermarried. They couldn't speak Hebrew. Anshi Knesset HaGdola had to compose a Shmoneh Esrei. The Rambam says so that Jews would be able to say a sentence without Noyah and Zibin Kaizen, and be able to say a proper sentence in Lashon Kodesh and pray it down. So Meshech Chochma says the difference between the two experiences is that there are certain things that may not be halacha, but they are the stuff from which Jewish identity is made. Language, clothing, names, these are very significant. Therefore, when Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came back to Eretz Yisrael, you know what they did? They instituted all sorts of halachas. They prohibited wine of a goy, even if it wasn't used for idolatry, in a sense to limit our social contact with non-Jews. They even prohibited the bread baked by a non-Jew, the oil of a non-Jew. It was in later generations, a few hundred years later, that those were dropped by Chachmei Yisrael. But they began to build up a whole series of offenses around Jewish identity. The Siyogim and Gedorim, he calls them. So he says the Mitzrayim experience was an experience which taught us how significant these things are, that are seemingly small. Is there a halacha that says I have to wear something that looks Jewish or that I have to speak in Lashon Kodesh? No, no. It's a nice thing to talk in Lashon Kodesh. Nice to have a Jewish name. But these seemingly minor aspects of Jewish living
can be decisive in terms of Jewish identity. Therefore, he says, we find by Pesach that there are halachas in Torah that are just fences around the law. Atem lo tetzu, don't go out of your house. Careful, don't go out. Only by chametz is there halacha, it says, b'yiroi, b'yimotzi, it shouldn't be seen or found in your house. It doesn't say about any other traitors. Over here, it's because Torah wants to tell us that the essence of the Mitzrayim experience taught us how significant these fences or these protective measures that are taken in order to reinforce and strengthen Jewish identity. So I did it. I said, Rabbi Simcha would not have been happy with me, but I got the basic idea across. So that what we talked about in the Shia was the uniqueness of that, well, really, a day, a few hours in Jewish history, from the time that the Korban Pesach was slaughtered, Erev Pesach, through the Seder, where a Jewish people begin for the first time fearlessly to act upon the will of God, and their faith is unshakable. They're packed, they have their walking sticks in hand, they're eating the chiposon because they believe with perfect faith that they're going out. They are celebrating redemption before the redemption. And that has to be the model for all times. We have to be able to, in a sense, celebrate. It's a pretty rough time to celebrate, but we believe Be'emunah Shleima, all of these plans for Be'emunah Shleima, not in Himmel. Save us from a lot of things. Okay. And so we hope in B'etz Hashem that everything will be well. And all right. Chodesh Tov, that's all Chodesh Tov, everybody. Utsu Eitzah V'Tufa. Utsu Eitzah V'Tufa. Okay.